On the fly is on the air down here in the vintage in review stand area, which is just south of the vintage Red Barn and surrounded by all these beautiful airplanes that are being featured this year. And one of such is Adrian Eichhorn, and you brought your beautiful Bonanza that we're going to talk about now. Tell us a little bit about when you started thinking about featuring your airplane here and what the journey has been like getting it to where it is now.
Well, thanks, Jeff, and I'd just like to start off by saying it's really an honor to be selected to have the airplane on display here, and like to publicly thank all of the staff and volunteers of the Vintage Aircraft Association put so much work into making an event like this happen. It's really an amazing effort. I bought the Bonanza back in 1989. I've owned it ever since, and it's actually restored it twice. The first restoration started right when I bought it. Then about 6 years ago, when I got back from a trip from Greenland, a few of us flew with AOPA. We took three Bonanzas, went up about 2,000 miles north of the Arctic Circle, flew around Greenland, took some pictures, came back, and I thought, you know, if this airplane's in good enough shape, I can put fuel in it, put an HF radio in it, I want to go around the world. So that was what started what has just ended, a six-year restoration of effort of modifying the airplane to make it in as perfect a condition as I could, because the one thing I learned is flying north of Bangor, Maine in a piston engine airplane, a recip, there's not a lot of help when it comes to maintenance and stuff like that. So I wanted to make the airplane as absolutely perfect as I could, so if I was in Sri Lanka or India or Dubai and I had a maintenance issue, I wouldn't have to mortgage my house to get the airplane out of there. So that started the effort once I decided to do the round the world trip.
So not everybody thinks that they want to do an around-the-world trip in a single-engine piston airplane. What types of things come to mind right away? I think fuel, I think, you know, life rafts, I think, all those kind of things, survival gear. What type of things do you do to prepare for a trip like that?
Well, the first thing is determining your route, because avgas, as most of us know, is not readily available outside of Europe and the United States. So I picked a route through countries and airports where I knew I could get avgas too, and I had a pretty good chance. So once you determine the route, then it's like, yeah, what type of survival equipment do I want? And I wanted, when I did the planning, I thought I don't want any single points of failure. So two rafts, five VLTs, two SATCOM phones. And it's kind of ironic because the only single point of failure is the engine. So, but it's a pretty consuming effort to do something like that, because unfortunately Americans aren't wanted in a lot of the countries, or welcomed like we'd like to be in a lot of the countries you have to go through. And there's the user fees and the permits and the restrictions that you find about as you're doing this trip, and international NOTAMs and all the stuff that goes with it. It's quite an effort. The good thing is that navigation-wide with GPS, it's simple. That's the easy part.
Yeah.
When some of my friends started doing this 30 years ago in the Bonanzas that went around the world, they didn't even have Loran. So their challenge was navigation. The challenges today are on the ground with the people you're going to meet, and permits and fees.
Mm-hmm. So how did you go? Tell us a little bit about the trip.
Well, I took off. I went up to St. John's.
You left from where?
Manassas, Virginia.
Okay.
Went up to Bangor, Maine, up to St. John's, and I was going to go across the southern tip of Greenland to Iceland. Would have been a 10-hour flight. Divert Airport halfway, the southern tip of Greenland. So I figured I'm crossing the North Atlantic. My ETPs are all about 2.5 hours. Got up there, and I used Jeppesen Flight Star planning for navigation and flying my flight plans.
That explains why Jeppesen's name is all down the side of your
plane. Yeah, they are. They great bunch of people. And prior to doing the trip, I went to them, and I said, look, I'm not looking for money. I'm funding this trip. I'm going. I had just painted the airplane blue. It was all blue, as ugly as sin. And it needed some white, and they were so much fun to work with, and they provided product for the trip, for the navigation databases and stuff, and we really, a good friendship with a lot of people there developed. So I put a 14-foot-long Jeppesen binder or logo down the side, and it started a great friendship with those folks. So I got up there, and there was some pretty bad turbulence and icing going across Greenland, so I went down to the Azores up to France through Germany. I went to the Friedrichshafen, which is the equivalent like of our, used to be the AA, AOPA summits, their General Aviation Convention in Germany. From there down through Greece, Santorini, Egypt, Dubai, then all the way down to Sri Lanka to avoid India because of the fees and the permits.
Is it just outrageous down there?
It is. Most of the countries through the Middle East and Dubai, gas in Dubai was $26 a gallon.
Ooh. You would think they make it there. You would think.
Well, I must have failed high school geography because I thought that's where oil came from, yes. But I guess not. But the reality is they don't have avgas in that part of the world. So to get gas, it has to be shipped in barrels, and then you pay the price because there's just no demand. And then up to Manila, and then the long leg through the Pacific to get home to Majuro, to Honolulu, and back. And longest leg was 17 hours from Honolulu back to Oakland. The plane has about a 27-hour range.
Oh, wow.
So you
don't even have to worry about that at all.
Carried tons of fuel. Never wanted to be worried about having to divert and not having enough fuel.
So is that how you made that turn to go down to the Azores, just the fact that you just had that much fuel?
I went on Flight SARS, and yeah, then I was a little bit nervous about that because I had never flown this airplane with a lot of weight in the tip tanks. I had just put them on. I just got them approved. So as I was going eastbound, the legs got longer and longer. But that was only about an 11-hour flight, and it went perfectly. And the Atlantic was smooth, and it was a great trip. So,
what was your favorite stop?
Santorini.
Oh,
just a beautiful
island. That
makes
sense.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful part of the world.
Beautiful part of the world,
and the people are friendly. And
but I will say that when we landed in Normandy, and one of the things that was on my bucket list was to overfly. I'm a veteran, to overfly the American Cemetery. And get a photo of the Bonanza over Normandy, over Omaha Beach. And Ian Sagan and Ed Hicks that published Flyer magazine in the UK came over. We did an aerial photography mission, and they were able to capture some of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen of a Bonanza or an airplane in flight over Normandy. So that was a really neat event. There were a lot of favorite places, and there were some that I don't ever care to visit. We won't mention those.
Yeah, we don't have to.
Yep, we don't have to do that.
We all know that there's some unpleasant parts of the world. But what an exciting adventure, though.
And you know, it's pretty neat when you think about that. You can take a 1962 airplane that was designed when the Beach Staggering was still rolling off the assembly line in Wichita. And it's really a 40s design. You can throw a couple 100-gallon gas tanks on each wing and fly for 26 hours without any structural modifications to the wing. So it's a testament to the Bonanza and an American-built airplane.
Adrian, thank you so much for sharing your
story
with
Jeff.
Us. And it's beautiful seeing your airplane here in Vintage, and we appreciate you bringing it.
Yeah, it's really an honor. I'd like to thank Ray because inviting me. I don't think I'll ever get as good of a parking spot again, but
well,
you never know. I got an American Express card. We can do favors. So. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. So Ray has invited some gals to join us here to wrap up the show today. And these are the Ladies for Liberty. And Ray, tell us a little bit about them real quick. We've got about 3 minutes for them to sing.
Okay. Well, we're just so happy they're here. And Wanda, tell us where you're from and how you got started doing this.
Well, we're from Louisville, Kentucky, and this is our maiden voyage, you might say, at Oshkosh. We're so happy to be here, and thank you for inviting us. We do a lot of air shows, mostly, and the origin of this group was just the desire to bring this music back the way that it was sang way back in the 40s. And now we've expanded to Vietnam and Korea as well, and we do modern day patriotic salutes. And we average about 70 gigs a year. That's a lot.
So we have about 2.5 minutes. What are you going to sing for us?
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Okay.
He was a famous trumpet man from out Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now. He's blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he could not jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted the band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Wow. Very cool.
Thank you.
So what's your schedule like this week? Are you going to be here all week?
They are. They're going to be here all week at 10:30 right here on the Vintage Aircraft Association Vintage and Review Plaza. It's known as the Rose Memorial Plaza. Be here at 10:30 every day. And also, they're going to be impromptu doing some singings on the porches around the Vintage Aircraft Association.
Well, that sounds cool. Well, hopefully you guys enjoy your first trip to Oshkosh. You guys sound great.
We are loving it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
It's a fun period for music, right? Yeah, that period of music was a lot of fun. Awesome, Ray. Well, thank you so much for hosting us down here at your beautiful vintage area.
Thank you, Jeff. We're so excited. We appreciate, again, you coming down here with EAA Radio.
We love
every
to do
year
that.
On Monday.
Every year on Monday. Yeah. And thanks for always putting us in a nice spot here.
I think it's a Chamber of Commerce weather, don't you?
It is Chamber of Commerce weather. J-Mont G, we're on the fly tomorrow. We're going to join the 1 Week Wonder in progress. They're building an RV-12 in a week, and we're going to have some fun over there tomorrow. That's at 1 o'clock right here on EAA Radio. Everyone have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. You're listening to EAA Radio.